rise this morning to speak with you from the paradigm, a rewarding relationship with the Father. A rewarding relationship with the Father. Using our scripture text, we will find it in the gospel written by our dear friend, the good doctor, our physician friend, Brother Luke, over in the 11th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Those of you who are following your Bibles, you may stand if you will, sit if you want. But the word of God is not dependent upon our posture. Nevertheless, we stand out of reverence to his word. But if you must sit, I have it on high authority that it is well. Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Now, I operate out of the King James Version. Luke 11, 5 and 8. I hazard to believe that we're there. Beginning with the fifth verse, we find these words. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he shall rise and give him as many as he needeth. Jesus has set forth a parable. You may have your seats. That illustrates the dynamics of a rewarding relationship with the Father. Yes. Now, let us get on the same page from the very onset. This traveling friend is our neighbor. He that is seeking bread is you and you and you and me. And he that is within represents God. Now, in this parable, Jesus lays forth the 3 elements that are necessary for a rewarding relationship. Now, you won't see it on the surface, but let us look below there for just a little while. At the beginning of this parable, we have a friend in a journey that has come unto us. Now, he's come unexpectedly. Otherwise, we'd have had something prepared for him. Now, it was not unusual for people in that day to travel in the cool of the night, but they traveled by foot or by beast. And so when they got there, it was the custom. And so what we find in the first element in a rewarding relationship is love. How do you know that I did this to you, Master, when you did it to the least of these? How say that you love God? And you don't even consider your family members or your next door neighbors, the people you work with, the cashier at Save-A-Lot, or the members, the brothers and sisters of Greater Harmony. First element, for I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. first element we have in a rewarding relationship is love. Now, this man is in a perplexed situation. He's got to put some bread before his friend. So he begins to think about this thing. Now, where in the world? I know none of you have ever had that situation in life. Where am I going to get some bread? And he thought about it, and he said, now, you know that man from within.
I believe
that he always has some bread. So he went knocking on the door, seeking bread, not for himself. This is love. But for a friend. This man, if he didn't think there was so many bread in that house, he'd have gone on to the next house. Ain't no sense fooling around, somebody ain't got no bread. But deep down in, this man knew that there was some bread in that house. This is faith. So the second element of a rewarding relationship with the Father is to have faith. For it is written, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that leads us to the third requirement of a rewarding relationship. You know, Jesus uses a word in this parable. It's a big word. The word is importunity. Now, we know that Jesus spoke in Aramaic and Hebrew. And our good brother Luke wrote in Greek. But the lexicologists and all of their scouring of the thesauruses said that this word is the most word that gives the spirit what Christ was talking about in this parable. This word importunity means to keep on keeping on. It means to be persistent and consistent in our relationship with God. There's 168 hours in a week. And I don't know how you spend your 168 hours. How much time you put into your relationship. You know, when I was a little boy, my mother taught me to pray. And I would get down on my knees next to the bed at night. And I'd fold my hands and I'd bow my head. And I'd say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, I went to bed with the comfort that God was watching me over me while I slumber and I sleep. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I could see it as if it was yesterday. I'd wake up and I'd wiggle my toes. And I'd stretch my arms. And I'd say, thank you, God. You kept me throughout the night. You kept me from death. Oh, I don't know what you're doing today, but you're moving about sometimes. You ought to stop and say, God, thank you for the mobility of my body. Sometimes you ought to stop and say, God, thank you for the agility of my mind. Before you lay down at night, you ought to thank him for another day. And when he wakes you up in the morning, talking about a persistence relationship with God. Now, Christ was in the midst of a lesson that he was teaching his disciples. And they had stumbled upon him while he was praying. Or you got to go home and read the 11th chapter for yourself. It's a beautiful thing. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, you know, we've recited what we call the Lord's Prayer 1,000 times again. And we're looking at it in hindsight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we know that hindsight vision is 20/20.
Yeah. Right.
But these disciples were dealing with it in the present sense, in a present time.
Yeah.
And here's a man that they had been following for nearly a year. And he says to them a thing that is the most radical and revolutionary thing they've ever heard in all of their lives. This man called God, Father.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah.
They were akin to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in their thinking.
Yes, sir.
Their kings and their priests had taught them through the years.
Yeah.
That God was the God that Isaiah saw high and lifted up. He was a God of Adam. He was a creator.
Yes, sir.
He was a God of Noah. He was a God of judgment who controlled the elements. He was a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a covenant bearer. He was a God of Moses. He was a God, the lawgiver, the determiner of good and evil. But this man said, call him Father. Now, they really hadn't come to the conclusion as of yet that Jesus himself was the Son of God.
All right.
It would be some time later before he had to make his day.
Yeah.
When he said to him, say, now, what do men say that the Son of Man am? Well, they begin to dither. Some said, well, you know, they say you might be the reincarnation of John the Baptist. Others say you might be Elias or Jeremiah or some other prophet.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, but who do you say?
Yes, sir.
And Peter stood tall and said, you are the Christ, the Son of a living God.
Yeah.
He said, flesh and blood did not reveal that.
Yes,
but my Father. Did you know what he's trying to say to them at the end of this parable? He said, now that you realize, and they hadn't really realized, I pray that we realize.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
That God is your Father.
Yes, sir.
You have the beauty of asking.
Yeah.
And he'll do it.
He'll do it.
If you seek it,
yeah.
he'll be certain that you find it.
Yeah.
If it's behind something, knock on the door. Isn't this what he said in the parable? Here's a man out of love went seeking for bread. And with faith, knocked on the door. And with persistence, continuously to ask, my Lord. You know, we ought to really look at what we call the Lord's Prayer. You know, Christ was really showing us something.
Yes, sir.
He said, thy kingdom come.
Jesus.
Thy will be done.
Yeah.
If you want to line up in this kingdom, if you want to get in this wheel where you have a rewarding relationship, it has to be about God's kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, Christ was a boy and they went on a journey, and they headed back home and got a day's journey, and they looked and they couldn't find him. Mary and Joseph went back looking for him.
Yeah.
Something about 3 days.
Yes,
they found him standing in the midst of the court, confounding the lawyers of that day.
Yeah.
And Mary said, why would you do this to us? And Jesus says, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? We as the children of God, careful now, we must be about kingdom building.
Yes,
not our will, but his will.
Yes,
and when you get within the frameworks of the will of God, talking about a rewarding relationship, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes,
oh, I tell you, why do you fret about these things? Have you not considered the ravens of the air?
Yes, sir.
Oh, they sow, neither do they reap. Do you consider the lilies? They till, neither do they turn.
Yes,
but Solomon in all of his glory.
Amen.
Does not compare. So one of these, God will take care of you.
Yes, sir.
You know, I look at the beauty of God, and it seems as if he's given us a holy ATM card.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, you can't use it yesterday because it's gone.
Yes, sir.
And tomorrow is not promised. But as many as I needed this day. Now, you know, I hear some people thinking, you say, well, you know, Brother Reeves, I hear you. But just so happened I have some real money in a real bank account. And I was at Winn-Dixie just the other day, and I got enough meat to fill up my freezer. And I got enough canned goods and staples to put in the cupboard. And I've got some fruits and vegetables and some milk and eggs and cheese in the refrigerator. I'll be all right coming tomorrow. Jesus called the man a fool who thought that way. He said, this night thy soul is required of thee. God is not only the keeper of the bread, but he is a purveyor of life. And you know, it's a beautiful thing about God's justice. He said, now forgive me of my trespasses. When I go beyond the bounds of thy kingdom, when I get outside of thy will.
All right.
You know, I tell you what. I will forgive you by your measure. As you forgive, I will forgive. As you love, I'll love. As you reward, I'll reward. Them that trespass against you in their covetousness, in their harm to you. I pray that I have the mind to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to rest, rule, and abide in my life. That he will bear me up and keep me in all of his ways. Lest I dash my foot against the stones of temptation and be delivered unto the evil one. Christ gave the benediction. For thine is the kingdom in which I live. For thine is the power by which I live. And thine is the glory of which I shall sing praises all the days of this life. God willing, you allow me into heaven. I'll be able to sing hallelujah, hosanna unto the highest throughout eternity. You know, this is a lesson on having a rewarding relationship with God, with the Father. It requires love. It requires faith. And requires a persistence. It brought back many memories. My oldest daughter and I were baptized in the same church, in the same pool, in the best of my recollection, by the same man, J.W. Stevenson, my pastor then, but 30 years apart. I never forget, we all came to Christ about the same age, around 8. And it wasn't after a sermon and the doors of church were open, like Pastor Locke, Reverend Stevenson would stand right there in the well of the church, we call it, and review the Sunday school lesson. And he had completed the lesson and was about to give the benediction. And I was standing over there in the youth class, my mother was over there in the women's class, and my father was in the men's senior class. And I don't know what happened to me, but I got up and I went up to Pastor Stevens. And I reached my hand out to him. He grabbed me by the hand. He said, Darryl, what do you want, boy? I said to him, Reverend Stevenson, I want to be a Christian. I've had a relationship with God ever since. No, I haven't always been the most loving person. But I've tried my best. I have been through the trials and tribulations of life, but I like to think I've held on to my faith. Oh, and I've tried to be persistent in my relationship with God.